Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
Hey everybody, guess what time it is? It's Real Nerd Time!
Real Nerds!
What up? We coming at you live with the Straight Fire Podcast, y'all!
We're live, you're listening to it recorded.
Yeah, so when you're calling in and you want to talk to us live, guess what? You can't!
Yeah.
Remember when we...
Oh no!
When for Nebcast we did a whole episode of us talking like that.
That was awesome.
Dude, it blew out my vocal cords.
That was an hour.
Yeah.
Of that.
And I didn't know talking like this was a big strain on my vocal cords.
Can you imagine doing it on the radio for 4 hours straight?
No, I can't.
I guess they don't do it straight. They like introduce a piece of music and then that goes for like 30 minutes and then they jump in.
Here's your request. Man, dedication. So every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience of the world. This week we saw Lee Cronin's The Mummy. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about movies we watched throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching. Brad, how's your week been going?
I don't remember. What week is this?
I don't know. Sometime in April.
Instacarting and working on Real Nerd stuff.
Nice. I have a feeling we're gonna get a booth of some sort.
It feels like we should have heard back by now because it's like the end of May, right?
April?
No. The con show is the end of May. Like I'm used to it being in July.
I know. Seems like it did come up really quick this year.
Yeah. Well, I did. It's almost 2 months earlier.
I know. I am excited that Frank Cho is going to be back.
Okay.
Like Frank Cho, friend of the podcast, Travis Hemel is going to be there.
Nice.
Do
you think he'll do a third interview with us?
Oh, I'm sure he will. He's a nice guy. I'm going
to
have all
It's been a year, right? He's probably got new stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's done a lot of stuff. What did he do? He did actually a pretty big book. I'll look it up.
I got to get his Turtles books out so I can finally talk to him about something.
Yeah. Because I pulled his... What did he do? Fuck. I think he did one of those Catacomb of Fears. He did something in that. Because anytime I see his name pop up, I pull it at the comic store. He did G.I. Joe last year. Oh, I think he did Transformers this year.
Cool.
And I think that's what he did. He's a cool guy. And I'll catch up with him and maybe I'll see if Frank Cho wants to be on our show. Do you think he'll remember me from the last time? I still have his stuff hanging on my wall.
Did he do an interview?
No, he didn't do it. I just talked to him.
A commission? Yeah.
I didn't do a commission. I bought three of his prints, and he just remarked a Spider-Man head on one of them for me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's cool. He's a great artist. He's one of my favorites. So, hopefully we'll be there, and we'll see everybody. And
Yeah, I'm excited to do an 80s, 90s booth.
Also coming up on our 15th anniversary.
That's right. I kind of forgot. 15
years.
I mean, I don't know. I know 15th is a big thing, but it's like, for me, it's not like a huge difference from the 10th, you know?
It's 5 years.
It's five.
That's usually how people do things, you know?
Right. But I'm like, for me, it doesn't feel like
much
of a milestone, but yeah. Just like the 25th is more important to people than the 20th, you know?
Yeah. Maybe we'll see you there.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking about like,
the 15th anniversary stuff.
Yeah.
It's still a big deal. It looks like I'm going to try to sucker you into updating our logo.
Yep.
Just keep it fresh.
By making it old.
Yeah. Well, it'll look cool.
Should all do 80s style.
Yeah, we're I have this in my head, this vision of 80s style neon pinks with that. Is it chrome or is it silver? I don't know. You know what I mean, though?
You chrome it out, yeah.
Yeah. That's just what I think of, like, 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, totally tubular or something.
Totally radical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, we should be debuting that pretty soon.
15 years.
Yep. 15 years of magic.
I guess the anniversary is after the con. Do we have anything, like, an episode to celebrate that? Do we do, like, a bonus episode?
Could.
Or do we just, like, whatever movie that is that week, we just, like, do extra for?
Yeah, well, I mean, was it the end of June, right? Or June 6th?
Yeah.
It's
got to be, like, He-Man territory, probably, right?
Yeah, probably. Because our first film was X-Men First Class.
And now we're doing X-Men Last Class.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the X-Men are going to... I mean, it sounds like they're going to show up in Avengers Doomsday. So, well, I mean, I
guess... About time.
We know they are because they've already announced the cast members for it. So, you know, I guess they have to be in it.
I mean, they announced that they had the X-Men and Fantastic Four back, like, what, 10 years ago now? Now they're finally getting around to doing anything with it?
Oh, the big movie for our 15th anniversary is Scary Movie.
Hmm.
But also Power Ballad with Paul Rudd's coming out.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, sounds like it'll be a not a big movie week.
We could also do like a holdover from the previous week.
Yeah. Joe'll figure something out. This week we saw... Lee Cronin's The Mummy. Brad, did you recommend the latest iteration of quote-unquote The Mummy?
So I fell asleep in an important chunk of this. But what I watched was like, eh. I don't know. I just don't find like possessed kids that terrifying. we've talked about it before. Like, just kick her, you know, out of the way. I think in theory, like, the idea is compelling. But, like, in execution, I just wasn't, like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's... It borrows heavily from his Evil Dead film.
It's a lot like The Exorcist to me. Like, there's a lot of stuff borrowed from The Exorcist, and that's why I kept thinking the whole time of, like, this is just The Exorcist, but, like... Evil Dead inspired.
Yeah, it's very loosey-goosey with The Mummy. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it, to tell you the truth. I liked some aspects of it. I thought it was cool at points, but it seems like Lee Cronin's whole shtick in this movie was, how can I punish kids, and how can I just add lots of goopy sound effects. Because they really crank up the sound effects when skin and stuff is falling off. It's always... yeah, I mean, it was entertaining. But it was also kind of long. I think it was over 2 hours. And that's a lot to be constantly berated with loud noises. Yeah, I mean, it was fun. It's all right. Here's a trailer for The Mummy.
Can I get 2 slices of pizza?
No.
Of course, honey.
No, you never ever finish 2.
Hello?
Mr. and Mrs. Cannon. I'm Deputy Chief for the U.S. Embassy. Your daughter Katie has been found. She's alive.
It's very important you fully prepare yourselves for what you're about to see. No sudden moves. No loud noises.
Hey, butterfly. missing for 8 years. What was our daughter doing in a 3,000-year-old sarcophagus?
She just needs our care and lots of love.
How many others were found?
57.
How many of them were still alive?
What happened to Katie?
What really happened to her?
Casaloto, Señor de los Milagros.
Say something.
Casaloto, Señor de los Milagros.
Say something.
Say something.
Say something.
Say something.
I mean.
Don't worry, Grandma. It's fun to be dead.
I just want my daughter back.
A journalist and his family live in Cairo, and he's dreaming of his dream job as a correspondent in New York, and he gets it, and while he's on the phone with his wife to tell her, hey, honey, guess what? We're going to New York. His daughter is kidnapped, and she's never found. 8 years later, he and his family live in New Mexico, where he's a weather guy, I think, or he's just a local news reporter. I can't remember. But they're in New Mexico living with their abuela. And when they're on another family outing, they get a phone call that...
And they have a new kid since then.
Yes. The precocious girl that I forget her name. They get a call while they're on a family outing that their daughter has been found alive. So they fly back to Cairo. And when they see her, she's all fucked up. I guess I skipped over a part. There's a plane crash, and the sarcophagus that was carrying their daughter was in that plane crash. And she was wrapped in 3,000-year-old mummy stuff. And, you know, why was she wrapped in this mummy thing? And
what happened to Katie?
Yes. And, of course, the... throughout the movie, it slowly starts ramping up that there's something wrong with Katie, and she's not really Katie. She's possessed by some evil spirit that they have to wrap in a mummy to keep it contained. And I forget why they had to move her, and the plane crashed.
Yeah, so there's like this woman who runs this cult, and they pick kids because, you know, the body lasts as long as, you know, like normal lifespan, even though it's mummified.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, the younger the body, the longer they can trap the entity. So yeah, that's why they got Katie. And then I don't know why they moved it.
Yeah, I think they said why, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Like, why would you?
And there's also somewhat of a police procedure in it.
Yeah, the detective who was on the case years ago didn't try hard enough, I guess.
Yeah.
And so the family's upset with her, and so now she's like trying even harder to solve everything.
Yeah, where she was kind of held down because of she was a woman in the police department, and her boss didn't believe that anything happened to Katie.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Stop trying so hard.
Like, yeah.
The world is what it is, and you can't make it better.
Yeah, whatever that is. Yeah, men. So then Katie starts doing fucked up things, and she looks like she's dead.
She really focuses her energy on Abuela.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, totally nice Abuela.
Yeah, like, what did she do?
Yeah.
And there's some gory deaths in it. The whole time I'm watching it, though, I go, why would you take her out of the hospital right now? Because it sounds like she needs, you know, a lot of medical attention, and... You know, the part where her mom...
Let's talk about some skin grafts.
Yeah. The part where her mom tries to cut her toenails and it rips,
like her leg. Then she says, oh, well, I'm a nurse, so I'll just wrap it. She's good, right? I think you would still take her to the doctor. And that's what I mean. It just, it's this unrelenting, you know, on your senses. And it's this girl who's a victim is constantly being re-victimized by, you know, her skin being ripped off. She's throwing up stuff. Yeah, kind of like The Exorcist. And I mean, I'll give points to Lee Cronin for doing something different with The Mummy, kind of.
Yeah, I appreciate the try.
Yeah, but it seems like it's a continuation of Evil Dead, where it's, you know, deadites, because even when the grandma dies and she comes back to life, why does her first thing is she wants to fuck her son-in-law, you know? Mm-hmm. It's stuff like that is really bizarre. And
her funeral, like, it was so frustrating. Like, how does no one see this thing on the ceiling?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, and I mean, I...
Fucking dog. Can you just, like, sit and take a nap?
No, she's...
Are you eating a army man?
Hey. Calm me down. Stop.
Not you.
So, yeah, it's like, I think it's a cool movie. I hope she throws up on me. It's a cool movie, but I think it's a little too long. I was reading reports that James Wan walked out of it during, like, the screening process. I don't know if that's true.
But, yeah, I can't imagine anything like would upset him.
Yeah.
Nothing he didn't do in, like, Saw.
Yeah. It's just there. Like, I don't think it's a bad movie. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, in the epilogue, they, like, use the dad to...
yeah.
Like, get revenge. I was like, that feels extra.
Yeah.
Also, like, they can control him, but they can't control the daughter when she's possessed.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, I just watched this a couple days ago, but let me refer to my my review on Letterboxd, what I originally said. You know, a lot like Lee Winnell's Wolfman, I appreciate that they're trying to make these monsters different. I don't know if the execution constantly works. I do think it's a better movie than Wolfman.
Is it better than Tom Cruise's The Mummy?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's definitely scarier.
Yeah. Because, you know, the problem with Wolfman is there's really no, like, werewolf. You know, and this, there's not really a mummy. And I get that they're trying something new. And that's why I'm guessing, too, that the official title is Lee Cronin's The Mummy. Because they want to differentiate the two.
Well, also, it's not Universal, is it?
It's not.
Yeah, that's why.
You know. I even put in here, you know, Cronin's vision might not be as original as it appears, because I think he borrows a lot from Evil Dead in it.
And The Exorcist. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it might be in the same universe. I don't know. And, you know, it's... I will say, too, that he has a clear vision of what he wants the film to be. He wants it to be a certain way. And I think he achieves it, and... but then there's also the conveniences. I think it's lazy writing. You know, they find the video cassette with the chanting of what happened to Katie. And then the dad happens to find the well-wishing letter that her friend wrote her. You know, that Katie was really my friend. I didn't want anything bad to happen to her. And all these thousands of letters, the dad is able to remember this name and find it. It's just some convenience things that really bother me. But, you know, I guess it's trying to fit it in the world. It is gory.
Yeah.
Yeah, the abuela gets ripped apart by coyotes. And
it's, yeah. Again, like, really brutal for someone who was not, like,
I'm surprised they had an open casket.
Right.
Because those coyotes, I mean, they're eating her entrails and stuff.
Must have a good undertaker. Yeah, we just stitched the another half of someone else's body onto her.
Yeah, it should work well, right?
Yeah. A little Frankenstein action going on here. Cool.
Yeah, that's about all I have for The Mummy, unless you have...
Nope.
All right. We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
What'd you watch this week, Brad?
Not a lot. This is the end of the Legends of Laughs sequence. Month at Regal. So they played This Is the End, and I missed it. So I watched it at home. Hot Fuzz, Super Bad. Great to see in theaters again. The new stuff I saw was the documentary Lorne of
Lorne
Michaels. A notoriously enigmatic person to, do a documentary about. And it was interesting. It didn't really, reveal anything.
I guess you really don't know too much about him, you know?
Yeah, he's just, a powerful producer in television, and he kind of keeps that mystique.
Yeah, I mean...
Private life.
Is he even really controversial? He seems like kind of just a mellow dude.
And he's controversial in the fact that, he has a lot of power, there's stories of people who don't like him and other people who do. In interviews they'll talk about if you feel like you're not getting a fair shake at SNL, you really don't know Lorne's actually got your back, but you don't know how. There's just levels of the business that you'll never understand, yeah, but he's able to shield you from. Stuff like that. The style of the documentary is there's some animation in there, so they recreate things through almost like a Ace and Gary, a TV Funhouse way. Mm. When they get to we tried to ask Lorne about this, but we didn't get a straight answer, so this is kind of how we'll explain it, type stuff. And there's cool insights into how the show works. Mm. And plenty of good interviews from behind the scenes people, about this 45 year run he's had. Minus that 5 years in the 80s. It's kind of interesting, but it's also now I know that he has a farm in upstate that he goes to as his retreat.
Yeah, because I was thinking, because I wanted to see the documentary. Does he interview for it? Because it seems like
he does a couple times, but it's not really sometimes he'll give a jokey answer, mm-hmm, or he'll just be a little coy or I'm not gonna reveal that type stuff,
Yeah.
He's playing along too. But there's other things where he's they'll have behind the scenes, he'll just be in the writer's room or something, making jokes with everybody. There's a lot of stuff where he's standing and looking at the programming wall and everyone's just silent of what's he gonna do, type stuff, and he'll just be switch a couple cards and then leave the room. And everyone's okay, I guess this is what we're doing. Yeah, they stuff he's got this fish tank in his office that's been there for 40 years, and they're do you have names for all the fish? He's no. You change them out for quite often. He's always eating popcorn.
Hmm.
It's not terribly in depth, but also it's still at least a little bit of insight into the real magic comes from everyone else around him explaining. They'll have round tables of different eras together. So
oh, that's cool.
There's Andy Samberg, Bill Hader, and I think, was it Will Forte? Maybe Jason Sudeikis. But so they'll talk about Lorne in their little group. And then I think there was another one from Dana Carvey and David Spade or something, or Chris Rock. From their era. So they'll talk about their relationship with him and everything. But it's also a very inoffensive, they don't really get,
yeah,
into anything bad about him. It's all mostly good stuff, so probably by design to get the access. So who knows? But yeah, if you're an SNL fan, it's a cool other little peek, but also I don't think you're gonna learn too much new stuff. Mm. Just really celebrates the whole legacy of the show. Yeah, I think that's it. Normal. I saw Normal.
Mm.
The Bob Odenkirk,
yeah,
action movie.
That came and went really fast.
Yeah, it's all right. It's very John Wick influenced. It's pretty impressive. I mean, it might be CGI, but like shooting in the snow like that, an action movie, it's like a lot of action. But yeah, it just centers around like there's this foreign company that is like using the town to like store their gold and money in their vault. Henry Winkler's like the mayor. And so like everyone in the town is in this, is on the take. Bob Odenkirk is like a state trooper, I think, or a police officer who just like got transferred to, this town because the current police chief died. And so he's taking his place and he doesn't know about like the whole town being in on it. So he basically fights the whole town, to, expose the plan. And like, he's really there just like protect his own life and a couple of other people. So he's at one point he's like convincing everyone like, look, like the foreign financiers are coming to kill us all. Like you guys for screwing up and me, cause I know what's going on. But if we work together, even though we're like ready to kill each other, we can like fool them and get away. And you get like, I'll leave the town. Like, just don't kill me. but yeah, he's like an action badass all the time and it's not bad. It's probably more for streaming though. That's all I watched.
Yeah, I watched a couple things. I finally got around to watching Your Name, which Corinne lent
the anime,
me.
Huh?
Yeah, lent me over a year ago. And yeah, it's wonderfully animated. I just don't know if I'm a dick. And it was okay. Like, I mean,
what's it about? Your Name?
No, it's like these two. I mean, I really just watched this 2 days ago, but just because I don't want to misrepresent what I wrote previously.
Based on the cover, I'm imagining there's like just two teens who are just like contemplating their existence.
Pretty much. So, easy.
What does it mean to be alive?
It's like a romantic film. There's two high school students and they switch bodies. So it's like a Freaky Friday
body swap movie.
Yeah. And so they live each other's lives and they come together at the end and whatever. Beautifully animated. I mean, I still gave it 4 out of 5 stars, only because I think it's really well animated. I find myself a lot with, Japanese anime films. The ones that I really dig into, you know, it seems that, you know, like the Ghibli movie I like the most is Porco Rosco, which is maybe not one of the most, I mean, I know people like it, but I don't know, there's something about it that really captures my imagination.
Flying Pigs.
Yeah, Flying Pigs. and even The Wind Rises I liked a lot. And this one, yeah, romance isn't really my thing in film. Like, I don't mind it, but it's hard for me to get behind it. And I know when Corinne hears it, she's going to lose her mind. Especially since I just watched this and I can't really remember it. But yeah, I don't know. The music always distracts me in it too. Really well animated. And the story about them coming together, I guess, is supposed to... I mean, I know it's one of the
Came together?
Yeah. I know it's one of the most acclaimed animes ever.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I think I remember it being like a highest grossing thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you should see it. It's not like horrible. But I also should not be a barometer if you should see an anime film or not.
Yeah.
Because...
Talking out of your ass about it.
Yeah. Because for me personally, I like Ninja Scroll. I like Vampire Hunter D. I like
monsters and blood. And
yeah. And so when they're more fantastical, I say that and my favorite one has a rock demon in it. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's not bad. It's okay.
That's cool. What else did you watch?
And the last thing I watched is I went to Second and Charles and I just went there just randomly with my kid because he had money from Easter, I think. And in one of their cases, they had the Arrow Shawscope Volume 3, which I think is like $120, but they had it for $60, and it comes with 14 movies. I'm like, fuck that, I'll get it. And so I hadn't seen any of the films in it. And so I watched the first one, and it's called The One-Armed Swordsman, and it's pretty fucking badass. So
there's a swordsman, and he has one arm.
Yeah. So in it, kid is adopted by this clan of warriors, and he's bullied. And one day he's bullied by the master of this school kind of takes him under his wing because his dad died in battle fighting. So the master of school has a daughter who he really obviously loves. And then there's these two bullies that are there. So one day he's out, they're out of the school or you'd call it their fortress. And they all pick a fight with him. And when they pick a fight with him,
they cut off his arm.
They cut off his arm, his right arm. So he runs away and he falls into the river and he's saved by this really nice lady. And while he's there, he says, yeah, I'm not going to fight anymore because
it's how can I?
Yeah, it's my left arm. And she says,
have you ever heard about the drummer from Def Leppard?
So she wants him to be a humble farmer with her. But she also says, but my father was a great warrior. And it just so happens when my mom burned this sword fighting training manual, the only part that was saved was the left hand side. So then there's a montage of him learning.
What are the odds?
Yeah. There's a montage of him fighting with left. And then the rest of the movie is literally them finding out he's still alive. And that then the rival clan goes after the one he came from before. And so he literally goes, fights his way back. And dude, there's like heads being chopped off. It's fucking awesome. And after I watched it, they had a documentary. And the documentary says it's one of the first like bloody revenge sword movies. And I think it's from 66. And there's just so I've been watching a lot of Kung Fu and movies like that. Cause the Jackie Chan collection on Shout was on sale for like $30.
What?
Volume 2. Yeah.
Oh, that collection.
Yeah.
They meant the Breakout Hits one.
No. I know I have that one pre-ordered and I go, man, my wife's going to be mad when I get that bill comes in. But anyways, I've been watching a lot of those type of movies. I've been really getting into them. And these ones are awesome. So I have to watch the other ones because I think the next one is The One-Armed Swordsman Returns. And then there's one more, I think, Revenge of the Swordsman. And then there's 10 more movies. And for $60. And it's a really nice set. It's really big. It's a book. And it comes with a soundtrack. And obviously the book has a lot of information in it too. It's Arrow. Everything looks really nice. That's what I watched this week.
Cool. What are we watching next week?
Next week we are seeing Over Your Dead Body. A favorite of mine, Samara Weaving, is in it. So be checking that out. And until next time, we'll see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. Look at all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!